We now come to the second commandment. Very brief, one verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, or Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. And in some, as I said earlier, in some Christian groups, this would be called the third commandment, because they've divided the first one into two. But following the catechism and the ancient tradition, we're speaking of it now as the second, and it says it's very, very penetratingly important. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of Yahweh your God, for Yahweh will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. We're not just talking about speaking politely about God. The second commandment applies to everything we do in God's name. Okay, stop for a minute. Think of the things that are done in the world today in God's name by so-called Christians, Muslims, Jews, and any other religious group you want to name. The danger is if I do something in God, if I do what I can, okay, and it's me, and you know it's me, and like I'm lecturing tonight or talking to you tonight, and I might be wrong, I might be right, I'm doing my best, and you've got enough judgment, hopefully, to sort your way through it, and please God, between a lot of us, we'll learn something. That's okay. We do our best. But if I say, as I'm talking to you, God says, wow, I've called on sight, I've done something very big. If I'm wrong, I could have been influential in skewing your idea of God. And a lot of that's happened to all of us, wittingly or unwittingly, by people. So we're into very serious ground here. We should be very wary of ever speaking in God's name without testing. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes we should. Sometimes it's right to. Sometimes we need to. But, oh, what care we need, what humility we need, what prayer we need before we do that. Because we're bringing God in to support our moral stance, our viewpoint, our belief system, or whatever we do. Okay. So, anything when I bring God in, I'm in danger of breaking this commandment, of using the name of Yahweh your God wrongfully. The person or institution that in God's name behaves in ways that are not consistent with the action of God as we see it in the Exodus or in Jesus is breaking the second commandment. And religious authorities are in grave danger of doing this, and history is absolutely filled with religious institutions of all kinds doing it. Anyone who would attempt, however subtly, to confine God within the limits of human words or customs is breaking the second commandment. We're talking about God, so big, so wonderful, so beyond words, so beyond images, so beyond laws, so beyond customs and traditions. And we're talking about something magnificently wonderful, and we've only got this little, at best, two-watt globe of a mind, and we've got a lovely tradition, and we want to hand on our tradition just to people, but always do it humbly and be very wary of doing it in God's name. When we reflect on the injustices that have been done in God's name, on the imperfect images of God that have been imposed on people in God's name, we begin to realize how radical this second commandment is. We must be very careful when calling on God to support our teaching. Prophecy, theology, liturgy and prayer can be genuine. They can be false. They can be authentic expressions of genuine religious encounters with the living God, or they can be substitutes for such an encounter. The second commandment demands the utmost care of us when we act or speak in God's name. The Catechism goes on to speak of respecting the sacred, of course, and lists the sins we can commit against the second commandment. And they include breaking promises supported by calling on God. I call on God to witness what I'm going to do, and I fail to do it. Blasphemy, taking oaths carelessly, perjury, there's a lot of that around, telling lies under oath, calling on God to witness that what I say is true, and then speaking the truth for my own advantage, to avoid punishment or to gain monetary or some other advantage. Wow, there's a fair bit of that happening in our culture. It's dreadful. It's cutting at the very heart of any Christianity left in our culture. And it is breaking the second commandment. It's bringing God in to support my own self-interest. The Catechism, to conclude this brief account of the second commandment, also tells us, as part of religion, part of calling on God, is to the importance of having a Christian name for baptism. Take it a bit gently, because all the saints who had the name for the first time didn't have a Christian name until they became saints. So it's a bit tricky. I mean, you think Pancratius, somebody was called, and he became a saint. And if you want to call your child Pancratius, do so. And it's quite a nice name, I presume. But in any case, what we're really talking about is be wary of calling your child after a footballer or a film star or some passing thing or some custom that's somewhere got off, I don't know, the back of a Weet-Bix box or something. There is a beautiful thing in giving the child a name that has a tradition and a holy tradition and someone that they might learn about and model their lives on in some way, some relevant and beautiful person of our lovely long history. It's a beautiful thing to do. Do it. But if you, for some other reason you choose not to, then what you've got to do is help your child become a saint, so that the name you've given them will one day be the name of a saint.